Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 29th day of August, 2023. Just a brief update on my older brother, Andy, who many of you have been praying for, who has a life-threatening blood contamination known as sepsis. The antibiotic treatments still appear to be holding the sepsis at bay. There is no apparent decline in his health. I really appreciate your continued prayers, not only for him physically, but infinitely more important that you pray for a clear and convincing testimony of trust in Christ. He has made professions for decades, but they have never been totally reliable, and I would love to have a peace of heart and mind if the Lord were to take him into eternity sometime soon. I would love to have the peace of mind knowing that that eternity is being spent with Christ Jesus. So I appreciate your continued prayers. I thank the hundreds of you who have been emailing me and communicating with me on social media, assuring me that you are praying for Andy. Please continue to do so. I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest, David Reese, pastor of Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona. He's also the owner of quite a fascinating company called Armored Republic. And today we're going to be discussing a government appointed by Christ, and that is a government in every sphere of life. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor David Reese.
Chris, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to discussing the Lordship of Christ in every aspect of life.
And tell our listeners, for the sake of those who are unfamiliar with you, they missed your last interview with me on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Tell our listeners about Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona.
Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona. We have the name Puritan, and Puritans, of course, are very concerned to see Scripture as the sole authority, to have the doctrine be pure according to the Word of God, to have the worship of the church be pure, and to be able to demonstrate every element of worship as being appointed by God, and to make sure to seek to apply everything that God has commanded in the worship. And then the same with government. And so the doctrine, worship, and government of the church, we seek to be very careful to apply sola scriptura to all of those things. And we are concerned to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed, that men would know that Christ has come to pay for the sins of his elect, and that all those who believe the gospel have their sins paid for by Christ and have his righteousness imputed to them. And so we want to make sure that that's broadly taught, and then bring disciples in and to disciple them to obey everything that Christ has commanded. We all know that we are breakers of his law, but we are made righteous by his covering, his righteousness imputed to us. And yet we also, knowing that we've received the grace of the gospel, want to, out of gratitude, do good works according to his law for the glory of his name. And so that's what we're concerned about. And yeah, we meet at basically, we're Northern and the 51 are connected. You can check out our website, which is puritanphx.com, if anybody's interested in worshiping with us in Phoenix, Arizona.
And your congregation is a Presbyterian congregation, am I right?
That is correct.
Yes, and I'm delighted that we have at least two Presbyterian churches advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, the other one being Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, hosted by Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who I also love to interview. And so I'll keep that that website on hand, folks, puritanphx.com. If you are planning to visit Phoenix, Arizona, or perhaps you have family, friends, and loved ones who live there, that's puritanphx.com, and you'll be hearing the commercials later on in the broadcast with more details on this fine congregation. I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away if they'd like to send in questions of their own about our subject today. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own church on something we are discussing today, and you don't want to draw identity to yourself. Perhaps you're even the pastor. You have a disagreement with your fellow elders or your denomination about something we are addressing. Well, we would definitely understand that those would be reasons that you would be compelled to remain anonymous. In fact, we would insist that you remain anonymous if you're discussing a specific church. But if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. This concept of a government appointed by Christ in every sphere of Christian life is interesting. You would think that that would be a no-brainer, but there seems to be a skittishness of even evangelical born-again believers when you combine the words government and by Christ. But if you could give us an outline of exactly what you want to speak about today.
Absolutely. So the reality is that the law of God is a grant of authority. When God commands us to do something, he's authorizing us to do it. And so we think about this. God is the maker of all things. He owns everything. And so he has to give us the right to use his stuff. Otherwise, we're trespassing on his property. And that includes our own bodies. That includes our own minds. We have to know what it is that we're supposed to do. So God tells us the purpose of life, which is to glorify him. He commands us to exercise dominion over the world and over the animals and the plants. And we're told that we have authority in those grants. So we know what the goal is. We're glorifying God. We know the things that we've been given authority over. And then he gives us particular commandments to know what to do, how to govern well, right? We govern our own bodies, but we're not allowed to kill ourselves, right? The sixth commandment forbids that. And so the law of God doesn't just give us a list of things that we're forbidden to do. It also gives us commandments positively that we are required to fulfill. Now, we cannot fulfill those commandments perfectly in ourselves. That's why we need Christ. But we've been saved by Christ from sin so that we can do good works. And so in being saved from sin in order to do righteousness, we need to know what is it we're saved to do. And so being saved to do these things, we look to the law of God and it teaches us what we're supposed to use all of our resources for. Now, God has organized life into four spheres of authority, four spheres of responsibility. And this really simplifies things. People look around and you kind of wonder, what is life about? Where should I be giving my time? The four places where we have principal responsibility are as individuals to govern ourselves. We need to govern our minds well and our bodies well. We need to govern our households. And we think about the household relationship, and that includes, you know, the husband or father of the house, the mother, the wife of the house. And we also think about children and then servants and the idea of businesses and estate building. So that's all under the household. We look at the church and what it's supposed to do, and we think about the state. And those four spheres are where our duties are principally to reside. Everything else is a voluntary relationship, but you are stuck with yourself, you're stuck with your household, you're stuck with your church, and you're stuck with your state. Those are all covenant institutions, and we have an obligation to deal with them according to the law order. Now, in voluntary agreements, you still have to treat people according to the law. But you're not obligated to enter into any particular contract. The covenant institutions, we can't get away from it. You can't get away from the fact that you are born as an individual before God. You have to deal with the household you're born into. And church and state are both institutions given authority by God. And so as we think about those institutions, each of them have law order from God about how they're to be used. So if you study the law of God, it teaches you how to govern yourself. And if you study the law of God, it teaches you how to govern a household. And we think about when we move beyond the individual, we have the fifth commandment, which serves as a head of doctrine. It's a bucket, a category that all of the honor relationships, all the interpersonal interactions sort of fit into in terms of the duties that you have based upon the station that you're in. And so when we look at that, we see that the scriptures tend to spend a lot of time on the household relationship. And the household relationship has a government appointed where the man is to be the head of the house. He is to rule in the house, and he's supposed to rule with his wife so that he is master of the home. She is mistress. He is husband. She is wife. He is father. She is mother. And so she submits to him. They together rule over the children. And if they have any servants, they would rule together over them. And they seek to build up an estate and pass on wisdom and wealth to their children. So there's the order of things. And the children are supposed to be prepared to take over that property and to be able to govern it well according to the word of God. In the church, we have elders and deacons, and they are to be nominated by the men of the congregation. They're to be tested publicly, to be elected. And then the officers that exist are supposed to ordain, which is the setting apart of a man for public ministry. And those men are to work as a council in the local church to rule together. And so you have these three courts. You have the elders, the deacons, which include the elders as well. And you have the men of the congregation, which includes the elders and the deacons. And then lastly, we have the state. And we see the state is given the sword by God to avenge for crimes, to wage just warfare, to defend the innocent, and to be able to remove threats. And the state also serves the purpose of seeking to make sure that contracts are upheld. And so we see the punishment of crimes, the waging of just warfare, and the adjudicating of these disputes. And so we see all of that. We have limited purposes for each institution. Backing away from the state, you think about what's the purpose of the church? It's to proclaim the word in the world. It's to have the sacraments administered, the worship of God done, and to have government maintained in it for discipline. And so this institution is created for the purpose of teaching, of holding up the doctrine in the world, being a pillar and ground for the truth so that it's upheld to be seen by the world. And it has the keys of the kingdom to be able to discipline members and to be able to deal with order. The household has the rod, and then you have the individual has the conscience. And so between all of these things, this is sort of the elements of the government, and these are the things that are to be used for the government of these various places. And we need to study the word of God carefully to see what is it that each of these things is to do.
Great. We actually already have a listener question for you that I think is an excellent question. And it's from an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, as you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 4 verses 5, verses 4 through 5, I should say, he must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? This is obviously in regard to a requirement for elders in the church. How much disobedience is tolerable for children of an elder before he needs to step down?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think when we look at that text, when we talk about the idea of the children being in submission, what we're talking about is not just a child who is disobeying, then gets disciplined, and they repent and come back and obey. But we're talking about a child who is throwing off the authority. And so if the child won't go through conflict resolution, won't heed the discipline of a parent, that disqualifies the elder. But the second thing would be there are particular acts that could be so grievous that they indicate a total lack of self-government in the child because of a lack of government in the home. And I think that the Bible provides for us valuable categories when we look at the Torah in particular, it gives to us not only sins with the categories of the Ten Commandments, but it provides for us, by the case laws, examples of criminal behavior. And so behavior that would be biblically defined as criminal is the kind of behavior that would call into question immediately whether that elder is ruling his house properly. And so if you see criminal behavior by the children, that would be something. So an example of that might be, for example, theft or assault. And you could also see, you know, that occurs in small children. I mean, small children might smack each other when they're playing. That's a type of assault, right? But so you might not, you might go, okay, I'm not going to throw this guy out of office because his five-year-old kid hit my four-year-old kid when they were playing together. But you would look at that and say, is there, this immediately calls into question what's going on here. The level of sort of a type of activity that is criminal. So the Bible's definition of criminality. And so we need to consider the throwing off of authority, rebellion without a willingness to repent. But secondly, criminal level types of behavior are the types of things that you pause, that you engage on them, and you see how is this being dealt with. Now, in some cases, like the example I just gave, where a child hits another child, you say, okay, fine, we're going to look at this. Does the parent deal with it appropriately? Are they disciplining it? If it's a small child doing something like that, then you move on. But you get into older kids, you start to go, what's the deal? Why are these kids not controlling themselves? Why are they doing things that are inappropriate at that kind of a level?
I have a question to throw in of my own. How is that to be understood when there are adult children not living under the roof of an elder who could be extremely rebellious? They might be known for adultery, fornication, drug abuse. We could go on and on and on. Homosexuality, so-called transgenderism. Where do we draw the line as far as what the parent who is an elder is responsible for?
Yeah, so we know that there's a responsibility for parents to rule their children well. We're told in Proverbs that if you raise up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. And so there's this general tendency that we see and this promise there for the idea of the child going in the way. But at the same time, we also know that we do not have the power to regenerate children, right? The father does not have the power to bring about regeneration in the child. He can bring all the means and does not have the power to cause those means to be effectual. So we pray for blessing. We ask the Father to cause the Holy Spirit to make those things effectual. But ultimately, I think when you see a child, if they leave the home and abandon the faith, it should call into question whether that man has led his home well. And we know that they cannot control regeneration, the father cannot control it. But at the same time, we have the promise of the tendency of the raising up of the child in the way they should go and how that causes them to walk in the way. And so I think what we are supposed to use is the evidence of what we see. And if the children of that elder have walked away from the faith, then that needs to be dealt with carefully. And I would say that the bias should be toward the removal of that man as an elder. And I think that only when we see something like there's extraordinary evidence that this man has done his duty, that the child was in submission while they were in the house, and then afterward they later threw off the faith after some sort of a process where they are outside of the home, that is perhaps the example of when you would say this man is not to be removed. But I think child immediately leaves the house and then immediately throws off the faith, that man, you need to call him into question and probably remove him from office.
And what would be the reason that you believe from your own experience, from what you hear in the media, from what you hear even by having observed and heard the sermons of other pastors, meeting other Christians, perhaps counseling Christians who have left of other churches, what would be the major failures that you believe exist amongst modern evangelicals, perhaps the majority, who are failing on all of these points?
So When we look at government, the issue of the Amazon Prime pastor is one of the big problems. Right? They ship these guys in. They come with free shipping straight out of the seminary. And also you're pulling these people in from other churches, and there's kind of this shuffling around. I think the church is supposed to raise up its own officers. And that doesn't mean that a man can never go to plant a church or to help in another church. But there needs to be a significant relationship and significant testimony that this man is fit for office before he moves in. And I think that the reality is that we don't look at the family life very carefully. And we need to remember that what we're told in the scriptures themselves is the man has to govern his house well. He has to govern his wife well. He has to govern his children well. His wife needs to be of a certain caliber. And if they don't have this, you know, the government of a man over his children is sort of a foreshadowing of what he's going to produce as an elder. And how he governs his wife and leads her and washes her in the word and beautifies her and brings joy into her life is also a foreshadowing of what he's going to do as he leads in that local church. And so I think examining that and the private life is very important. Hospitality is extremely important. It's one of the qualifications. And hospitality lets people look into your home. They can see what your children are like. They can see what your wife is like. They can see what you're like in person. And they're able to see, are you generous? Are you stingy? Are you willing to give time? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to bless? Are you willing to talk about the problems of your people and enter into their lives or not? And so I think that that is a significant piece of this, is looking for the proper qualifications for men. But I would also say, when we look at the broader evangelical church, there's a failure to guard the worship of God. And that is because there is not a concern to say, when we call the church together, they are obligated to appear. And if they're obligated to appear and they're obligated to stay from the assembly's beginning to its end, then everything we do in that worship is an act of authority. It's the government of that church requiring the people to participate in that worship. And so the care to guard what the worship is and to be able to prove every part of it from the Bible, to do it in a manner that's pleasing to God rather than what's pleasing to man, is another part that has to be carefully guarded. And then with the doctrine itself, so much of the teaching, if people aren't willing to go through the hard passages of Scripture. They aren't willing to look at trying to deal with doctrine in a full-orbed way. And so what we need to be willing to do is to engage with the Word of God throughout its whole, and to be desirous to teach the full counsel of God. So I think those are the three places where we tend to see those failings. And I would also say one last part is this. I talk to pastors, and I talk to them about the idea of a church court, and most of them have no idea what a church court is. They don't know that the church is supposed to hold court. They don't know that the church, before it disciplines people, is supposed to call them to appear, require them to hear the charges, allow them to give a defense for themselves, have them have the right to challenge witnesses with cross-examination. That idea that church discipline is a court process is something that is totally foreign to most evangelical pastors. And so that is necessary. It's a part of the government of Christ's church. And if a church doesn't have discipline, doesn't have a court, it's not a church. It might be people who have the gospel right, but it's not a church.
Yeah, in fact, the instinctful reaction, if you were to ask an average pastor, do you have a church court? They might say, oh yeah, the kids from the community play basketball at our church all the time. We have a gym, we have a Starbucks. But we're going to our first commercial break right now. And once again, if anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question, for our guest today, Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an amazing, mind-blowing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. Whether you are buying a piece of jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com that they already have in stock, or if you are having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of jewelry. I have seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry. And it is guaranteed to come out exactly the way you want because you are involved in every single phase of the customization process, no matter where in the world you live. If you have a computer, through the miracle of the internet, you will be able to witness every phase of the development of the customization of your piece of jewelry. You have the ability at any time to make corrections, to change your mind about the way something looks, making something bigger or smaller, changing the color of a stone here or there, whatever it is that you want changed, they will do it. And then on top of all that, before they create a final piece of jewelry, they send you a three-dimensional wax prototype in the mail, no matter where in the world you live. And you're able to hold it in your hand to see how large or small it is, to turn it on every angle. And then when you approve of that, they cast it into a finalized piece of jewelry. So if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com soon because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com, and make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with David Reese, pastor of Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona. We're discussing a government appointed by Christ. And David, one thing that we failed to elaborate on in the beginning of the program is your business, Armored Republic. We did discuss that in more detail the first time you were on the program, but why don't you let our listeners know something more about Armored Republic again. I can't hear you, David. You have yourself on mute. Oh, wait a minute. I have you on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I do.
Oh, very good. So Armored Republic creates tools of liberty to help free men to defend their God-given rights against tyrants and criminals to the honor of Jesus Christ. So what we think of body armor as is a tool for liberty. And so our broader mission is to figure out how to educate men, encourage them to lead and defend their families, and to encourage them to think about tactical tools they can use to defend themselves and to defend their rights. And so one of the things I think it's important to do in order to see a nation organized properly is not to have a huge military establishment, but rather to see a citizen soldiery where men are able to participate in the call when you see the state going into a just war. The state would call the men to engage in a defense of the nation. And so this idea that one of the things you see warned about in, for example, the time of the kings, God warned that kings should not multiply horses or chariots because they were not to have a large standing army with a focus on offensive capability. They were not to multiply gold. They were supposed to keep taxes low. And if there were tons of resources that were available for the state, they were to lower taxes further to avoid the accumulation of capital being held by the state so that a free people could have their own property and use it to serve the Lord. And then also they were not to multiply wives, which is about not being a pleasure-seeking person as a ruler, but also about not making covenants that are wicked and not forming wicked alliances. And so in order for a nation to preserve its independence and to preserve its liberties, there needs to be a citizen soldiery where there is this idea of the man being capable and competent to defend himself and others and to be well-trained. And so we encourage people to own body armor and to own a rifle. And frankly, if you don't have a rifle and you don't have body armor, buy the rifle first, because what you need is something that's a basic tool for defense and to be able to resist tyrants. But then armor is sort of the second tactical tool. And so we think a good firearm is what a man needs to be useful, to be able to defend his own rights and the rights of others. And then secondly, body armor. And when you have those two pieces of equipment, you have the basic fighting tools to be an effective infantryman so that you could help to defend your community, defend your home, be able to resist tyrants, and to be able to resist criminals. And I think that the church more and more, as it looks around and sees the possibility of persecution, it is good to be well-prepared and well-equipped and to be around other men who are also willing to defend you and to be willing to work together so that you can preserve your liberties and preserve your safety.
Yeah, that's another sad reality, how many Christians, at least professing Christians, recoil with discomfort when you speak about a Christian arming themselves and so on. It's just a bizarre world we live in. I guess that would also depend on where in the United States you live. I'm originally from New York, and that phenomenon definitely existed there. In fact, I had a friend, a Christian friend, who owned a very lucrative sporting goods and guns and ammo business, and he said that he was getting flack from Christians constantly, thinking that he was doing something that was not proper. He was utterly utterly amazed by it. And
wow.
But I want to make sure our listeners have your website for that, for Armored Republic. It's ar500armor.com. ar500armor.com. And we do have a listener, Bradley, in Pittsburgh, Indiana. And Bradley said, you mentioned earlier that when you are interviewing a candidate for an elder office, that his wife should be qualified. I was wondering if it is a qualification, in your opinion, that a elder be married with children. That seems to be a heated area of debate, even amongst very conservative and very reformed Christians, some who do not believe an elder needs to be married and not even needs to be a widow or ever having been married. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you think about a pastor or elder, he has four titles that are frequently used in the Bible. You have the idea that a pastor is a teacher. He is meant to teach doctrine. He is supposed to be a pastor who cares for the people. So he's sort of acting in a prophetic way, teaching doctrine. He's acting in a priestly way, caring for the people, shepherding them. And then he's also supposed to be an overseer, which is being sort of kingly, ruling. And so you have those three titles. But the other title is elder. Right? And what does elder mean? Elder means mature. That's the whole idea behind it. Right? So you have this guy that teaches doctrine. He maintains good relationship and cares for people. And he governs. And he's supposed to be mature. So the question is, has this individual reached a mature condition? The book of 1 John talks about little children in the faith, young men in the faith, and fathers in the faith. This is sort of the stages of maturity. And so if a person is immature in their life, they are not fit to enter into public rule. And so I think that what we see is the Lord Jesus Christ waits until he's 30. We see the qualifications of a priest were to be 30. And so you have this idea of a guy who's mature to rule before he enters that. The Levites had to be 25 to serve. And I think there's a relationship between Levites and priests to the office of deacon and to elder. So I think there's part of this age idea and maturity. And so you have this idea that these are men. You become a man in Israel at 20. You become fit for sort of this diaconal type of service at 25 if you have the other qualifications, fit for elder type of service at 30. And so there's this sort of this progress of age where there's ability to do more and more service publicly and to govern. So the question about marriage is, are you called to singleness? The Lord Jesus Christ was not to be married to a woman in this life. The Apostle Paul seems to have been a widower. And so I don't think those guys are exceptions. I think that they are both under the law. Christ was in his human nature under the law. And so he didn't do something that was illegal by entering into public teaching office. And the Apostle Paul did not do something illegal by entering into a public teaching office in that way. The qualifications of apostle or the qualifications of the king of the church for the Lord Jesus Christ are not things that are lesser qualifications than the office of elder. So I think it's plain on its face in the scriptures that you do not have to be married in order to enter those offices, but you have to be mature in life. And so if you're a man who's looking to get a wife and there is nobody who is fit to marry you, or there's nobody who you are willing to marry or they're not willing to marry you, then the question is, okay, you need to focus on that. You need to get your house in order. And the other thing is, we see the law that a man, if he gets married, he's not supposed to go off to war for the first year. He's not supposed to go off and do public service. It says he's not to go off to war and he's not to be charged with any business. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't do any work. It means he focuses on governing himself, governing his house, pleasing his wife, getting his house in order, making sure he can provide well for the house and the house is beautified and that the wife is happy. And so when you get married, you should take a year off from public service. But the other thing is, if you're trying to get married, get married, get your house in order before you seek to govern other people. So I think that's what the teaching of Scripture is, and hopefully that clarifies the issue.
Let me add something to the question. I've asked other guests this. When you were talking about a qualified wife, if indeed an elder is married, or if he is courting someone that he would like to marry, are there certain things that are not necessarily innately sinful about a woman that would disqualify her to fill the role of a pastor's wife? Let me give you an example. Perhaps she's painfully shy and private, which would affect possibly, unless she just strove to overcome these emotions and ways of thinking, her fear and so on of being social in any way, it may affect negatively her being hospitable. And there could be, you know, other things that I'm not even thinking of right now. But that would not be an innately sinful thing or trait, especially for an average Christian woman. But for a pastor, it might be very problematic. Do you think there are things like that that would disqualify a woman from being an elder's wife? And if she is already married to a man who seeks a position as an elder, that would disqualify him?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the goal of a godly man ought to be to beautify his wife with the word, to wash her with the word, and to help to develop her up. And the goal would be to see a woman grown into a Proverbs 31 woman, right? Because she's the type of woman that an elder needs as a helpmeet. So if someone is particularly shy, the question is she able to overcome that? And if she's able to be hospitable despite her shyness, then she's just working past it. And that shyness will be overcome and eroded over time. And her capacity to reach out and to be caring for people will increase as she practices it. And so the issue of hospitality, it's a great connection, because essentially if that personality trait is used as an excuse to avoid a positive duty, then it would disqualify, because it would stop the man from doing it. So if he can't be hospitable because his wife is so painfully shy, okay, great. He doesn't have that qualification, and it might be because of his wife's behavior. So he needs to lead through that, help her, and there's sort of a training process. The word of God, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And so that training in hospitality is a part of what the application of the word is supposed to be done for. And so with a wife, you could help to develop that, help her to overcome that shyness, to be able to care for others better, and to be able to be hospitable. So there might be something, but the way you would look for that is to see, does it affect one of the positive qualifications? So the negative qualifications, they disqualify, but the absence of a positive virtue also disqualifies.
Okay, we have a question from Gabriella in Nanilchik, Alaska, and I'm pronouncing that correctly. Gabriella says, when it comes to the verse in the Bible about turning the other cheek in Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 40, I believe that many people really abuse and twist this passage to mean something that it doesn't. Can you please explain the true meaning of this passage and how it should be properly exegeted?
Absolutely. So the passage, to turn the other cheek, is talking about the idea, if somebody offends you, if somebody does something that is embarrassing, painful, hurtful to you, that you do not seek to avenge yourself. You don't seek to return cursing upon them for the cursing you received, but you seek to bless them, you seek to overlook. This is not a statement that if someone's trying to actually murder you or cause you bodily harm, that you don't defend yourself. You have a duty to defend yourself and to defend others. We're told in Exodus that if a man breaks into your house at night and you kill him, that there's no guilt for that. So how do you reconcile these things? We also have texts that talk about just warfare, and we have texts that talk about, for example, Abraham going off and saving Lot when Lot was kidnapped by foreign kings out of Sodom. Abraham takes his 300 and something trained men, the neighbors that he covenanted with, and they go and hunt down this army, engage in a night forced march, dozens of miles, engage in a flanking movement and an ambush attack, kill the enemy army and free the men that were kidnapped, including Lot. So those are all viewed as good works. And we also see Jesus, when he's talking to soldiers, he doesn't say, well, you know, be pacifists and quit your job and run away. He says, be content with your wages. Don't extort anybody. He's telling them to administer their role justly. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 13 that the state has not been given the sword in vain. The sword is not simply an ornamental tool. It is something to be used to punish the wicked. And so we look at the turn the other cheek, and what it's saying is two things. Don't avenge yourselves, and two, be willing to overlook offenses. It does not contradict the idea of having to defend yourself against imminent danger. The difference between self-defense and vengeance is also explained in Exodus. In Exodus, it says, if you kill a man when he's come into your house, that's not murder. There's no guilt. But if you go and hunt him down in the daylight the next day, you are avenging yourself. There's no longer a danger. You are avenging yourself. So when the danger is removed, if you go and punish the guy, you're taking authority into your own hands. So the Bible teaches us everyone has the authority to defend themselves. Only the magistrate, only the civil government has the right to avenge to take vengeance, to exempt, to apply a punishment, and that requires due process of law. And then the waging of war is the other type of violence that we see that's lawful, besides self-defense and besides vengeance taking through just process of law. And waging war is sort of a mixture of a communal self-defense, but also it's a communal judicial action because it involves going on the offensive. It involves fighting this not just for the night or whatever. It's an ongoing process. So it's sort of a mixture of vengeance plus self-defense when you see warfare. So those are the three categories of lawful violence, and we can see those taught throughout the scriptures, and we see the just wars that are engaged in by the kings. So turn the other cheek does not mean never use violence. It means do not avenge yourself and be willing to overlook offenses.
Yeah, that I agree with the listener in Alaska that that is probably one of the most twisted and misused scriptures, along with judge not, lest ye be judged, very often thrown in the face of Christians by unbelievers who have at least enough cursory knowledge of what they've heard the Bible teaches that they remember those things and they totally butcher them. And this, what you've said, totally obliterates. I'm not going to mention his name because he may have changed his view. But I remember a number of years ago, I was startled by a very, very well-known and highly respected Reformed Christian. He was a pastor. He retired. Very voracious author. And he said that he would not kill evil men that had broke into his home and were raping and murdering his wife and children because he knew he would be sending them to hell. Now, a very bizarre statement for a Reformed person to make because we are not in control of the eternal destiny of other human beings.
Right.
And secondly, the reason why it's an asinine view is because that means that you are giving the opportunity of these evil men to leave your home unharmed and kill other people and send them to hell.
Right.
I mean, absolutely insane idea. And I was shocked because of the caliber of this person in many areas. And also his being a thoroughly reformed individual in so many other ways. It was bizarre. But we have to go to our midway break now. And please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break, as always, is a little longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program daily, they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to their physical location in Lake City, Florida. And they do that through their own public service announcements and other types of local things that they air during our midway break. We, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. We hope that that often means you'll purchase their products, you'll use their services, you'll visit their churches. When you cannot do any of those things, there's one thing that every single Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener can do if you are really grateful that there are others who share their wealth with us so that we can remain on the air. If you're really grateful for that, thank our advertisers for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's as simple as that. Contact them using their contact information in their commercials and simply thank them. And also use this time to send in your questions to David Reese.
Back together again, yeah. Back together again, yeah.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Irons and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Irons and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast, I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, folks, solid-ground-books.com has been experiencing a huge book sale slump. And since we depend on their financial support to exist, I'm hoping that all of my listeners, those that can afford to do so, will contact solid-ground-books.com and place the largest book order that you can afford to do. And always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I've also got a book I want to plug for my listeners today that is an anthology of chapters written by a number of different authors, including Greg Bahnsen and Cornelius Van Til and others. It's called The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill, Classic Discourses on Paul's Ministry in Athens. So just remember, The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill, and or you could even just type in Bahnsen, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, into the search engine, and you will see this book. That's just one I wanted to highlight today. But just please go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, David Reese, pastor of Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and also owner of the Armored Republic, I just have a few important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to hearing guests and topics that we feature on this program, some of which are never heard anywhere else or rarely heard anywhere else. You love receiving free books in the mail when we interview authors. You love to receive free Bibles if you're sending in a question for the first time. Well, please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. There's one thing I want to remind you folks, as urgently and as desperately as we need your financial help, please never give your own church where you are a member less money than you ordinarily give your church on the Lord's Day in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. In other words, don't cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church to bless us. Please don't do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a gift. There are two things that are very clear in the Bible about our finances. We're commanded to provide for our church and our family, and we're not commanded to provide for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, obviously. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. If you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We have never bounced back from the plummeting of the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever since COVID began and the insane mandates, unconstitutional mandates that were imposed upon our citizens, both federally and locally, that coincided exactly when giving to this program plummeted. We've never bounced back. We've also had people stop supporting us because they don't like some of my guests' eschatological positions or other things involving church-state relations that they don't like to hear on this program. Well, if you enjoy a variety of guests and you don't want me to ban guests that I desire to interview just because I may lose some money, please help us out. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, please, if you're a man in ministry leadership, do not forget about the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon. This is being held Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. My guest speaker for the first time will be Pastor Jeff Noblett, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard, who is founder of Anchored in Truth Ministries and senior pastor at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Not only will you be getting free admission and free food, a free opportunity to hear Jeff Noblett edify, encourage, and challenge you in your faith, a free opportunity to share fellowship with colleagues in ministry, some of whom you may be rekindling old friendships with, or perhaps some of whom you've never met, well, you'll also be receiving at least one, possibly two, heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me, donated by publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. You can't beat that, and that aspect of it alone is worth you traveling a bit to be at the free pastor's luncheon. I have people coming from Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, upstate New York, New York City, Long Island, New York, New Jersey. And we even had a pastor drive all the way from Texas a few years ago. So we hope to see you there Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Send me an email to register for free at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live, in all parts of the world. That may be you too if you are without a biblically faithful church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today. His name is David Reese, and he is the pastor of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And our discussion is on the theme, A Government Appointed by Christ. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Let's see here. We have Beau, B-E-A-U, in Belfast, Maine. And Beau wants to know, I have been so excited to hear what you have to say, and my elders need to hear this stuff. Do you have a video, an audio recording, a series of sermons, a book, or anything that you could recommend that I could pass on to them?
But I would imagine we're talking about the elders' qualifications, or we're talking about the requirements for church government, state governments, household government, and so forth. So first, on my on our website, puritanphx.com, you can find our sermon audio account. You can download sermons. We have a sermon series on the qualification of elders there. But also, it's a five-part series that I've done. The other part, the other thing is, I have done a teaching series through the entire Westminster Confession of Faith. And in that, I have a section on the household, when we deal with marriage and divorce, the chapter on that. I've dealt with the church government in terms of the chapter that deals with church courts and with church censures. And there's also a chapter in the Westminster Confession that talks about civil government. And so those are sermons that I've put out. But the other thing is, if you're trying to look at how to deal with these things, James Bannerman is a historic Presbyterian.
The Church of Christ.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine you probably have it on that website you were talking about, the Solid Ground books. They probably have Church of Christ. So I would encourage you guys to check out that site and see if there's Church of Christ by James Bannerman. It's a two-volume set. It's very good on church government and the details of it. But also, Brian Schwartley wrote an excellent book called National Covenanting, Christ's Victory Over the Nations. Again, it's Brian Schwartley's National Covenanting. He does a really good job of laying out the case, showing how to deal with the civil government, and pulls enormous amounts of biblical text together and makes that very plainly laid out. And Philip Kaiser is another pastor who has written The Divine Right of Resistance, which is a really short book. So Philip Kaiser's Divine Right of Resistance is excellent there. There are some historical ones on that as well, Messiah Prince and Lex Rex and Vindicii Contra Tyrannos. So these are there are a lot of books on civil government out there that are very good that have been written by our Reformed forebears in the faith, as well as a number of excellent books on church government. And so I think that when you look at what the Puritans did in particular in trying to think about church government, there's a lot of good writings that are available. So but I don't want to just continue to give a list of books to people over the air. So, Chris, where would you like me to go from there?
Just pick up on where you left off on a different phase of government that you'd like to address. By the way, just to let our listeners quickly know that The Church of Christ by Bannerman is also available in a massive one-volume version, hardcover, from the Banner of Truth. So
great.
I just thought I'd let you know that. But if you could continue.
Absolutely. So going back to the types of government, when we think about government, it all begins with self-government, the government of the individual. And so when we think about governing ourselves, we need to remember that we are commanded to govern our bodies, and we're commanded to govern our minds, to govern our souls. And so with the government of the body and the soul, we need to realize that we have been made the image of God, The image of God is not a material thing. It is our minds. It is our souls, our spirits. And the mind, the rational faculty, is the image of God. We have to remember that logic is eternal, that God is the Logos, and he has given us the ability to think, and he has given us his word, and his word renews our minds. So we govern ourselves by growing in wisdom, by studying the word of God. That rearranges our desires, our purposes, our affections, so they are holy. And furthermore, that helps us to make righteous choices. So the image of God is rationality, and that manifests itself in knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. And when we are renewed, that makes it so that we can serve other people and glorify God as prophet, priest, kings. And so prophets speak the truth, and they correct error. Priests maintain holy relationships. They pray for the glory of God, for themselves and for others, and they self-sacrificially serve. And kings provide and protect. And so we are called to serve in those ways. And I want to encourage you to think about governing yourself as a prophet, priest, and king, who is an image bearer. And the law of God teaches us how to do that. And so we think about the household and putting households into good order again. And I think that we have failed to realize as Christians that we don't just want to be people who are husbands and fathers, but we also need to, and think about women as wives and mothers. But we also need to think about the duty of training up children. You know, there's an old Jewish saying that was common that would say, if you do not train your child in a trade, you are training him to be a thief. And so
I got to remember that.
The absence of skill makes it so that you don't have ways of serving other people. And so when we govern ourselves, we have to find good work to do. But masters of the home and mistresses of the home are obligated to put people to good service. Now, William Perkins has an excellent series, book, which also I know is available on Solid Ground. It's a part of the William Perkins series. They've got the 10 volumes set there. But he has this little book called The Christian Economy, or How to Rightly Order a Christian Home. And in it, he talks about the duty of the head of the house as a master, husband, and father. And so he talks about that duty of the master to put the economic resources of the household into good use. So I want to encourage Christians to think about how to govern their property and their time to do dominion work that makes it so that the law of God is applied to more and more. And so having Christian businesses is a part of that. So if you currently are not very skilled and you're looking for work to do, find a Christian businessman, find a Christian plumber, find a Christian to work with, develop skills, be useful, be a good servant, a useful servant, build wealth and build skill. And when you're capable, when you're competent, when you're mature, start a Christian business, because that extends out your capability to support shows like Iron Sharpens Iron. It extends out your ability to give Christians jobs. It gives you the ability to have resources to support the church. It makes it so that you can have independent resources and wealth so that you can even run for political office. And so if a man doesn't govern his home well, he can't govern well in the church, and he can't govern well in the state. And if you don't have any resources, you're going to be totally incapable of actually taking your time and money and putting it to the service of others. So that self-government leads into household government, leads into governing a wife well, governing children well, and governing property well, and putting time to good and profitable use. We are commanded to redeem the time and to not be idle. And so we need to put our time to profitable employment. So, Chris, anything else you wanted to go into before I jump down further into the church and state?
No, you could jump down.
Okay, so when we talk about the church, when we think about a teaching of the church, there is a lot of teaching that needs to be done. And the book of 1 Corinthians gives to us an order for the New Testament church. And the theme of 1 Corinthians is the idea that the church is the New Testament temple. And so you see the idea of the people of God being gathered together. We see the glory of God manifest there. And it talks about, when you look at the good order of the church in 1 Corinthians, one of the things it talks about when it's talking about spiritual gifts like prophecy, and when it's looking at spiritual gifts like tongues, it talks about the importance of two or three prophets speaking. And then it talks about two or three speaking with interpreters, right? And by the way, let's all be very clear. Tongues is speaking a foreign language. It's not made up gobbledygook. It's a foreign language. And it's only useful in the church when there's an interpreter. That's what 1 Corinthians says. But in either case, whether it's prophecy or tongues being interpreted, the idea of two or three witnesses going forward is pulled from the Old Testament and moved forward. We bear testimony in the church. And so the order that ordinarily is supposed to occur is that in the public worship, you have two or three people teaching. And that comes, that applies to prophets. It applies to people who are given the supernatural gifting of tongues and interpretation. And it applies to the lesser office. And so William Perkins, in his book, The Art of Prophesying, he takes the principles out of 1 Corinthians about prophecy and says, the way we prophesy now is by proclaiming the word of God as it's laid out for us in the scriptures. And so we need to be careful to prophesy well, to teach the doctrine of scripture well. We don't give new revelation, but we take the revelation that's been given, a complete revelation, and we unveil it to men. We explain it to men. We explicate it to men. And so we look at the order that's established in the history of the church and that's established in the Old Testament, and you see this principle of multiple elders in a local church, not just one elder, multiple elders. And so the government of the church is supposed to be by multiple men to prevent the church from becoming a personality cult. And by allowing multiple men to teach across the services, you prevent the personality cult from forming. And so this is a part of that idea that we are under a king. The church is a monarchy under Christ. But when we look at men who are not Christ, it's a republic. It's an ordered council of men as opposed to single rulers that dominate. And that's how we avoid bishoprics and the consolidation of power there. And so men learn to be able to share in power and to serve underneath the governance of Christ by having to work together. And so in the church, you see that, and the courts of the church help to deal with that. And when you are careful to not invent elements of worship, the church becomes a place where the rule of Christ is on display. When you're very careful to preach his word, to sing his songs, to pray his promises, and we are careful to obey him in those things. And so, Chris, anything else you want to go into before I move into the state?
Well, before you move into the state, perhaps we'll just take one more listener question. We have Monroe in Searcy, Arkansas, who says, I know that it is a very good thing to support Christian business owners and professionals, but when the rubber meets the road, shouldn't we be buying products and using services from businesses and organizations that are at the best at what they do? On top of that, there are many professing Christians that advertise using the fact that they are Christian, and when you find out more about their lives and how they conduct their businesses, they could not be farther from the truth in their description.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think the reality is that it's not a sin to buy something from an unbeliever, right? We can do trade with anybody. There's nothing evil about doing trade with an unbeliever. But if you can bless a Christian, it's good to do so. And so what we need to do is when we hear about Christian businesses, if we're getting a service from somebody who's not a Christian, we should take the time to see, is it possible that instead we could do business with a Christian? And if you find that there's something that's of similar quality or better, and you can do business with a Christian, then great. Now, if you find that that Christian is a hypocrite, okay, then you no longer think of that as valuable. You think of that as a negative thing. But if you know of Christians who have a credible profession of faith, and you know, when we don't know, we use the judgment of charity. And so what we do is we seek opportunities to bless Christians and to do business with them. And if there's a product that's of similar quality or better quality, we should be willing to pay as much or some more to be able to bless Christians rather than non-Christians. And so that's what I would say, is that's how we can seek to encourage each other and bless each other and build business relationships. And when you're talking about small things, it's perhaps less significant, but especially if it's something you're buying repeatedly, or if there's a consistent resource that you're going after. And so I think that that idea that, yes, you do have to judge the product itself, but we should, when we have the option, it's better to go with a Christian option to see those resources put to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we have to treat that issue just like we treat the demand of the left that insists upon equity, and they want people that are less qualified to be in positions of employment just because of their race or their ethnicity or sexual preference, which is absolutely not only demonic but insane. And to boil it down to its essence, if you want or if you need brain surgery, for instance, there's nothing wrong with finding the best surgeon, even if he happens to be a Muslim or an atheist, rather than Deacon Bob, who might be a brain surgeon but is got a reputation for being horrible at it. So we don't want to do the same thing that the leftists do with this equity nonsense and say, well, you better use the Christian, no matter how bad they may be at what they do.
Absolutely. Chris, I think that's a good point. And I think it's another thing is sometimes it's really frustrating. I've hired a lot of Christians and I've hired a lot of unbelievers. And it's really frustrating when I see a Christian not working well, because right. it's so dishonoring to the Lord. And so whether you're an employee or whether you own your own business, if you're not doing a good job, it dishonors the Lord. At the same time, so many Christians are afraid to say that they're a Christian in the workplace,
right,
or afraid to put up the word of God over their business. And so they run away from it. And the reality is we want to encourage boldness. So where honors do, honor a lot, right? And when somebody is behaving dishonorably, you know, let's point that out. Let's call it out.
Yeah, and in fact, I could say with all honesty that the people who have harmed me most in my life financially when it comes to jobs, employees, and colleagues, they have been professing Christians that have stabbed me in the back, worse, caused the loss of great income for me. They have been Christians and not the atheists and secular individuals that I've worked with and worked for. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But your point still stands that whenever possible, we should be helping our brothers in Christ become more lucrative and prosperous if they're doing a good job at what they're doing.
Absolutely. Chris, you know, John Calvin said that there is nobody who does more harm as a thief than a servant who uses his privileged position to harm his master.
Yep, there
and
you go.
So one of the things also, you know, Psalm 41 talks about this idea of the covenanted brother who comes into your house. And Psalm 41 verse 9 says, you know, you were my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. You ate my bread and you lifted up your heel against me. And so this idea that there are people who you are friends with, you give them hospitality, and there's nothing more painful than the betrayal of that. So you think about the Lord Jesus Christ having Judas be trained by him in the ministry there, and you know, who his hand is dipping bread into the oil on the table with him and betrays him, right? This idea of the covenant breaking friend. And so I think there's a great, one of the most painful things in this life is the covenant breaking Christian who harms you with their profession.
Well, please continue. Move on to the next phase.
So we think about the state. And when we think about the state, the purpose of the state, as we discussed before, is to be an avenger. The state is given the sword. So the state is to have officers, and those officers, we see the state ordered again first in Genesis chapter 9. The state doesn't exist in the garden. The sword is not given in the garden to man. The first time we see the sword come up is when we have angels with swords of fire set to guard the garden after Adam and Eve have been cast out. And that flaming sword is to protect God's private property, the garden, from trespassers. And the reason for that trespassing protection is also to prevent them from eating of the tree of life, to prevent them from becoming immortal with sin corruption, which would be hell on earth. But the other thing is we see that then the earth is filled with unbelievers who are violent. They fill the earth with blood and they destroy the church. They kill the church. The church is whittled down to Noah and his sons and their houses. And so after the flood wipes out the wicked from the earth, what you have left is these four households that are that are professing houses. And the covenant that God gives in Genesis 9, he gives the sword to avenge. And that sword is to punish criminals, to wage just warfare. And those two principles of punishing criminals and waging just warfare gives us a sense of the purpose of the state. We're told that taxation is for that, and we have all these limits that are placed on the state. 1 Samuel chapter 8 gives to us a number of warnings about a disordered state. When the people of Israel chose to have a monarch, a king who was not God, but instead to replace the republican order that was established with a king. And one of the warnings is that this guy is going to think he's God. He's going to tax you at 10%. And we all kind of hear 10% is a tax and we laugh because we think 10%, I pay that in sales tax, much less income tax. I mean, Social Security is almost 10%. And so you look at that number and you say 10%, what is that warning about? The idea is that God demands a tithe, and 10%, if the state demands 10% or more, it is viewing itself as having the right to take as much as God demands in the tithe, which is supposed to be absurd. So the limitedness of the state is viewed here. And we think about the limits of the role of the state as a punisher, as an avenger. It's to make it so that there's room for the church to be a ministry for the education of God's people and the worship of God and for discipline. There's room for the household. And the household is where the ministry of health care, welfare, and education is supposed to occur. And it's to make it so that individuals are able to freely operate, to be free under the law of God. This idea of Christian liberty is the liberty to do what God commands. And so the state preserves that kind of liberty. So the state is supposed to acknowledge Christ as king rather than establishing other men as kings. The state is supposed to acknowledge his word as authoritative, to see that Christian liberty is defended and preserved in the land, and to see that biblical justice is administered. And so that biblical justice is to be administered by applying due process, and that due process is laid out for us in the first five books of the Bible. That's where we see it. That what we see is rules of evidence, rules for law in Exodus especially, and Deuteronomy and Numbers, and we see it some in Leviticus. And so those give us principles like, again, the two or three witnesses. Those give us the principles for having elected officers that serve on councils. And so in Exodus 18, you have Jethro coming as a priest of the Lord before the giving of the Levitical priesthood. And he comes and he bears a message from God about the proper order to establish in terms of the election of elders. And he has this very localized system with one elder per 10 households, one per 50, one per 100, one per 1,000. And then there's, of course, the establishment of the 70 that occurs for the sort of supreme court of the land. But these decentralized, low-power courts to help to deal with crimes and disputes about contracts and to deal with the waging of just defensive warfare is a very limited state that is meant to preserve righteousness in the land and to make it so that individuals are free to obey God. And so much of the book of Exodus is about people being freed from a tyrannical government under Pharaoh to be free to obey God in the way that God has commanded. And so that principle of liberty, of being free to obey what God has commanded, is the Christian principle of liberty. And the state is for that. And so we look at this idea of these officers that sit in councils. And what we see now is so much in our land, we see sort of this bureaucratic system where a bunch of unelected bureaucrats do all sorts of things that the government's not supposed to do. And the government does a bad job of punishing crime, a bad job of resolving contract disputes. It costs enormous amounts of money to get a trial. It takes forever to get a trial, as opposed to making it simple for people who are poor to be protected from oppression, so that there's an easy way to get a day in court and an easy way to deal with a trial. Instead, it's a complex system that takes forever, and it's very costly. And so the biblical system of justice is meant to make it so, you know, the rich are always going to be able to protect themselves and defend themselves. But capitalism and the system of private property and the protection that the state gives to protect the property of the poor gives the poor opportunity to be able to build wealth and to defend themselves when they don't have the resources to do so. So the state looks out for the orphan and the widow and for the sojourner and for the poor by making sure that their cause is heard quickly and clearly, and that truth is what reigns in that judgment. And so those concerns, you know, we hear those words, orphan, widow, sojourner, the poor, and we expect some sort of socialist tagline. Well, the scriptures mention those people to be looked out for, and the mercy ministry of the church can go to those people, the diaconal ministry, but the state is not supposed to be redistributing money to those people. It's simply supposed to be making sure they're not being oppressed by people. And so we think about all those principles, and we look at the various purposes of these governments and the forms of them, and we see that our current establishments are far removed from them. And so my hope would be that people begin to look into the outlines of these things and look at the very limited purposes of the state, the limited purposes of the church, and realize that the bulk of the work to be done is to be done by individuals and households, and that we live our lives and we need to see Christian households and Christian individuals applying the word of God in detail. And the state needs to be careful to obey God, and the church needs to be careful to obey God. And those public institutions are only going to be reformed as we seek to boldly proclaim that Christ is King in both domains. And so I want to encourage people to seek to apply scripture and to be unashamed of the scriptures in both the church and the state. And to be the guy who says, well, where does it say that in the Bible? And to be the guy that says, well, the scripture says this. So that's my exhortation, is to seek to use the law of God to bind rulers and to not let them throw off the chains of God's law.
Okay, we have to go to our final break. If you do have a question that you'd like to submit, we urge you to do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with David Reese. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back, folks. You've been hearing ads every day, if you listen every day, for the Historical Bible Society. I want to remind you that the Historical Bible Society was founded by my dear friend for decades, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a serious accident or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please mention that you heard about Dan Buttafuoco and his practice on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please keep that number and website handy. Put it on a post-it note on your refrigerator or something, because you never know when you're going to need it, even if you don't need it now. That's 1-800 Now Hurt and 1-800-NOWHURT.com. We're now back with David Reese, pastor of Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and founder of the Armored Republic business. And I would like you, before we forget, to plug your upcoming interview with David Shannon, also known as Chocolate Knox of Cross Politic.
Thanks, Chris. So, yeah, I'm on X, I guess formerly known as Twitter, still trying to get used to that, at Real David Reese. So, again, that's Twitter, at Real David Reese. And I'm going to be on August 31st interviewed. We're going to be talking about Christian nationalism and national covenanting, and I'm going to be explaining how I think that national covenanting is the historic doctrine that we should be more concerned about, and that it's better than the new way of talking about things. And so this idea that we want to pursue Christian government, and we should do it in the way that God has appointed. And so I think that the idea of civil covenanting there. And so, again, that's going to be on the 31st of August. It's going to be at 3 p.m. Arizona time.
Great. And if you could, I want you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Yeah, the main thing I'd want to make sure that everybody remembers is what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, and that is essentially that we take with the word of God, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's the thing, and it's sufficient. It's sufficient to make the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that includes the good work of governing yourself, governing your family, governing the church, and governing the state. And so if we approach all of these spheres, realizing that the word of God is sufficient for them, and stop pragmatically coming up with solutions, and instead say, what do the scriptures say about all of these things? We will find that God's wisdom is better than ours. That's the thing I want people to take away, is to look to God's wisdom about all of those spheres.
Okay, we have time for one more question. We have Chip in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And Chip says, routinely when I have conversations about a theonomic government or a Christian Reconstructionist aspect of government, I constantly hear feedback from Christians that because even Christians are tainted with sin, this experiment of a church giving such influence to a government of any nation has never worked. It has always eventually become corrupt and brutal and sadistic and has faded away into non-existence. So tell us why we should press on this issue and how we should respond to that kind of criticism.
Yeah, so I found that every individual has to deal with sin, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I found that every family has to deal with sin, every church has to deal with sin, and every state has to deal with sin. And the only solution to sin is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And so if we're going to say, hey, you know, we're going to avoid a Christian government, and the reason we're going to avoid a Christian government is because Christians are corrupt. Well, I'll tell you who is more corrupt than Christians, non-Christians. And I'll tell you what else. If you do not have the Bible to tell you how you ought to govern, you're going to come up with the fevered imaginations of men. And so we either are going to have government that accords with God's law, or we're going to have government that accords with man's law. And man's law is worse. If you think that the abuses of Protestant governments in the past are bad, you should study Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Pol Pot. You should look at the secular abuses that have existed. And then you should also look at what has happened with the papacy and the inquisitions and things like that. You should look at what happened with Islam. And so when you look at that, you realize the only solution we have is the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. And then we have his word for wisdom. And so the question is not whether we're going to be governed by sinful men. That's going to happen. The question is whether they're going to be Christians and whether they're going to apply Christian law or man-made law, or they could get law from false gods, demons. Those are another source. So are we going to have law from demons, law from men, or law from God? And so that's the question.
Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for doing such a spectacular job as you did last time. I want to remind our listeners To find out more about Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona, go to puritanphx.com, puritanphx.com. For David Reese's business, Armored Republic, go to ar500armor.com, ar500armor.com. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.